Of John, we've been looking at John throughout the year, and we've come to John chapter 14, and in John chapter 14, Jesus looks forward to the cross and to what's about to happen, and he begins to talk to people, to his disciples, about the Holy Spirit and who the Holy Spirit is and what he does. And this morning, as we worshiped, that was one of the things that We sang, Holy Spirit, fall fresh on us. And we asked God to fill us with His Spirit. And God is here this morning. The Holy Spirit is here this morning. And I don't know if where you're at, I don't know if you've sensed that or not, but for some of us that are here in the room, it's merely you're one breath away from asking Him. From receiving a fresh filling of Him. And so this morning, just to start, I just want us to put our minds in the right place with an expectation that God is here and that He has come to meet with you today. He's come to meet with me today, and He's come to talk to us and minister to us through His Holy Spirit. Amen. And the sweetness that was here during worship is an expression of who He is, of His goodness, of how wonderful it is to relax in His presence, to rest in Him. And so just to start this morning, obviously I have material to go through, but just to start this morning, I just want us to take a moment and to pray together and just to open ourselves up. Because I know that some of you here this morning may still be thinking about all the garbage from last week. You may still be thinking about that fight you had with your spouse to get here this morning, or the stuff that you said to the kids to get them in the car, or to get them dressed, or whatever. The stuff that happened at work, the silly thing that you did last week. And I know that God is here to talk to you and to talk to me, and I don't want us to miss Him. So would you pray with me? Just bow your heads. Lord Jesus, we love You today. We love You today. Lord, I love Your presence. I love the sweetness of Your Spirit. I love the peace that comes in an environment that is filled with Your presence. And Lord, we just breathe in today Your peace. We just receive from You this morning all that You have today. We set aside, by an act of our will, we set aside all the things that are vying for our attention this morning. All the things maybe on the agenda for the rest of the day. All the things that we've dealt with yesterday. And we focus right now on You. And we just ask, Lord, that You would fill us. Would you just ask Him, just say, Lord, fill me this morning. Talk to me this morning. Teach me this morning. Jesus, we need You today, and so we trust that You are here, that You're present, and that You're powerful to do all the things that You said You would do. In Jesus' name, amen. This morning we're going to talk about the Holy Spirit, and we're going to talk about how we need the Holy Spirit and how it's so important whenever we're talking about the Spirit of Jesus inside of us. It is so important for us to be in His Spirit. How is it that we get in His Spirit? And so much of operating in Him, so much of flowing and cooperating with Him, is simply cooperating with His Spirit by saying, Lord, I agree with Your word that says, I am dead to sin. I am dead to all the old stuff. I am dead. In Ephesians it says, reckon yourselves dead to sin. Consider yourself dead. And so you and I that know Christ, you and I that have His Spirit inside of us, have received a filling from Him, have received a regeneration from Him. He actually says, you're now dead to sin. So many times we don't see that, right? Sin seems alive to me sometimes, right? And yet He says, reckon yourself dead to sin. That is, consider yourself dead and alive to Christ Jesus. So it's not only considering ourselves dead to sin, but it's also being filled with the life of Christ. And this morning, as we talk about his filling, as we talk about the need that we have for him, I just want to sort of underline that point for us, that so much of it is for us to put ourselves in a place where we say, I'm dead to that. I'm dead to that thing I want to do. I'm dead to that place I want to go. I'm dead to the words that I want to say that I know I shouldn't. I'm dead, I'm dead, I'm dead. And Lord, I'm alive to you. I'm alive to your Spirit. Fill me, God, with your Spirit. I consider myself dead to those things and alive to you. And I think if we can grab a hold of that, that is really one of the huge keys to being filled with his Spirit every day. Now, in John chapter 14, we're going to launch out of here. Jesus is talking to his disciples about the Holy Spirit. And so if you have your Bible, you can turn there to John chapter 14. If you didn't bring a Bible this morning and you'd like to get a Bible, the ushers have Bibles that are coming forward right now. Just raise your hand. Maybe you forgot yours or you lost yours, your kid hid yours. Then just raise your hand. We will loan you one of these. And if you have one at home, then just leave it in your seat. We'll pick it up and use it next service. If you don't have a Bible, just go ahead and take this as our gift to you. And turn to John chapter 14. We're going to look in verse 16. And it's on the screens if you don't have that Bible yet. If you get one of these, it's on page 749. John chapter 14, verse 16. It says, "And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you." Now, Jesus is talking to his disciples, and he knows that the cross is before him. And he knows that he's going to go to the cross, and he's then going to go into the grave. He's going to die and be resurrected, and he's going to then ascend to heaven and go to the right hand of the Father. And he's no longer going to be with his disciples in the flesh. He's no longer going to be with them in that same way. And he tells them, he says, "But I'm going to send another. I'm going to send the counselor." And that when he says another counselor, it's another of the same kind. That is, I'm going to send the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity, Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. I'm going to send my Spirit to you. See, the challenge is that Jesus is now in heaven with the Father. Jesus became fully human, and he's fully divine. He's God in the flesh. And now in heaven, he has a physical body. And now it's a glorified physical body, just like you and I will have in heaven one day. But it is a body nonetheless, and he's in heaven. And so how is he in all of us? Well, he is in all of us through his Holy Spirit. That's why he said, it's actually better for me to go so I can send my Spirit to you. Now, the Holy Spirit, according to George Barna is a pollster who does research and asks questions of people all the time. And he, a number of years ago, asked Christians, not people that are outside the church, but people that are actually in the church, he asked them about their views on the Holy Spirit. And what he found was that 60 to 80% of Christians do not believe the Holy Spirit is a living entity. In other words, that's a lot of people. Six to eight out of every ten Christians do not understand who the Holy Spirit is. Many times, they think the Holy Spirit is an energy or a force. It's kind of like in Star Wars, the Force will be with you, right? And the whole mentality, someone is a fan, the whole mentality or the whole understanding of Star Wars is that there is this force that is sort of non-knowable, it's nameless, it's throughout everything, and it's an energy that we can tap into. Well, let me tell you, that's not the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is not the warm fuzzies that you get when you sing songs. The Holy Spirit is not just an energy force field that's out there. The Holy Spirit is not just a nice way of talking about the power of God. It's not just a tool that the scriptures use to talk about the way God operates. The Holy Spirit is a person that Jesus said, I will send the Holy Spirit, and he will be my Spirit in you. And so when we receive Christ, when we receive him, then he sends the Holy Spirit. He comes inside of us, regenerates us, makes us a new creature, and actually sets up shop in here, in my heart. and lives in you and me. And he is actually the Spirit of Christ to us. Now, just like everything that Jesus did on the earth, he said, everything that I do, I see my Father doing. So whenever we look at Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the stories of what Jesus did on the earth, we get a wonderful picture of who God is, of who God the Father is, his heart, his beliefs, what he wanted to communicate to you and I as human beings. And it's the same thing with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, when we are full of him, we are full of Christ. We are full of Christ. And the truth is that we need the Holy Spirit if we are going to live the Christian life the way that he wants us to. Without him, it is impossible for us to really walk the way that he has designed us to walk. Without him, we will stumble through life and maybe do some good things, but it is impossible for us to get to the place and to do the things that he wants to do inside of us. The problem is that we forget how important he is. If you're anything like me, which I somehow suspect that you are, it is so easy for us to get distracted by other things. I mean, I know, because I read the scripture, and I know because I've seen what the Holy Spirit can do. I've seen the Spirit of Christ in operation. I myself have received healing in my body. I've seen people be healed. I've seen people receive words of prophecy and words of knowledge where people have spoken by the Holy Spirit's power and are speaking into people's lives, and they say things to people that you would never know except by a revelation from God. I know that because I've seen it, and yet I forget. I forget how important it is to live life full of the supernatural, full of the power of God, full of something dynamic, and instead I revert to myself all the time. I just decide that, oh, I guess I just need to grit my teeth some more. I just need to make a good decision. I just need to walk forward, and I forget that he is not only available to me, but that he desires to work in and through me. And the people that are full of the Holy Spirit, churches that are full of the Holy Spirit, are churches that make a difference in their community. I read a number of years ago a book by a theologian, and this theologian, I don't even really think that he certainly doesn't believe in the Holy Spirit. I'm not even sure that he knows God in a personal way. He's a theologian, but go figure. He wrote a book, and he talked about South America and how the church, the Christian church in South America, the ones that are growing, the ones that are impacting their communities, the ones that are making a difference in their nation, are the ones that are full of the Holy Spirit. And if our church is going to make a difference in this community, then we must be full of the Holy Spirit. If you are going to make a difference in your family and in your friends, in your workplace, then you have to be full of the Holy Spirit. Because when we tap into his source, then we tap into the very life source. He is life. We know him. And yet we forget so often. And in a little while, we're going to leave some time at the end where we're just going to wait. And we're just going to ask him to fill us. And I'm just going to minister to you. And we're going to receive the Holy Spirit. Not that we don't have him already, but we're going to receive a fresh filling and a fresh touch. I wrote a little poem for us about the Holy Spirit and how we need him. And you're going to just go, you didn't know I was a poet, I know. But you'll be convinced very quickly of how gifted I am in the area of poetry when I read this to you. But in a little while, we're just going to ask, and we're going to wait, and we're going to receive. Just like in Acts chapter 1, Jesus goes up to heaven and he says, hey, wait, I'm going to send the Holy Spirit to you. And they had to wait to receive him. It's called don't leave until you receive. Don't leave until you receive. Don't leave the house. You ever get angry at your spouse? Or something, somebody makes, you know, something happens, you get angry, and you know you shouldn't leave. You know you shouldn't get in the car and go somewhere because you need to cool off. You need to change. You need to get out of that anger and get full of something else. You need to wait and receive the Holy Spirit, right? Don't leave the house. Don't talk to the spouse. Don't quit the job. Don't go back and run with the mob. I told you it was sophisticated. Don't get angry. It takes a little while to kind of process these, I know. Don't get angry and hit the wall. Don't return to the same old thing that causes you to fall. Instead, wait a little bit. He'll visit in just a little while. Already he's at it, working on you from the inside out, adjusting, shifting, and moving about. Will you yield? Will you permit? The Holy Spirit waits. Will you sit? And the question for us this morning is, will we receive? Will we wait? He's willing, but are we willing? And I know that you're like me, that sometimes in your life you feel so challenged because you just keep doing the same things that are the wrong things over and over again. And you've told yourself, I won't do it again. And it's just like tomorrow, it's just like SSDD, right? Same stuff, different day. And you're just going through the motions of life, and you just, man, you're thinking, there's got to be something else. And you've stopped believing that tomorrow could be different. We need a fresh touch of His Spirit. So let me just give you, if you're taking notes, I'm going to give you four reasons why we need the Holy Spirit. Four reasons why we need Him. And the first one is, you need the Holy Spirit to regenerate you. You need the Holy Spirit to regenerate you. If you're taking notes, you can write this. Before I came to Christ, I was spiritually dead. Now, I am spiritually alive. When we make the decision to follow Christ, there is, according to 2 Corinthians, He makes us into a new creature. That He actually comes inside of us. He sets up house inside of us and makes it possible for us once again to be reconnected with God. He washes us of our sins. He regenerates us on the inside, makes us a new creature so that we can walk forward in a different pattern, a different way. And many of you have had that experience when you made the decision to follow Christ. There were some things that simply were no longer an issue for you. Addictions that were broken off, or lifestyle patterns that just, you know, all of a sudden you didn't want those things anymore. And it was because God had made you into a new creature. And that is the regenerating power of Jesus inside of us. Everything in our universe needs renewal and regeneration. Now let's talk about regeneration and degeneration just for a second. Everything, if you notice, everything gets old, runs down, and breaks down. You buy the new car, and it's beautiful. And it's got the paint just perfect. And the inside, the leather is luxurious, and it's just perfect in every way. And the engine, when you start it up, it just snarls the way that it should. And as soon as you drive it off the lot, right, you spill the cup of coffee everywhere. Or the kid grabs the crayon and does that nice mark right across the beautiful upholstery that you had. Or you know, you just happen to park a little too close to somebody else that dings your door when they open theirs. And before you know it, that brand new, beautiful car that you had is now not so nice and not so new. And everything in our life is like that. No matter, even our car batteries. Our car batteries, they have a little generator inside there. Every time you run your car, it recharges the battery. And so it's supposed to be building up continuously. And yet, even though it charges and charges and charges, after a couple of years, you have to buy a new battery. Why? Because everything is running down. Everything breaks down. Everything is going the way of the process of, it's called in science, right, the second law of thermodynamics. It's all just going down. Even the universe is eventually going to run out of gas. And that is just simply the way things are. And that's why you and I need regeneration. We need God's power to come and break that cycle of break down and run down and run out and fill us and charge us and remake us once again. And his power to generate power inside of us is exactly what we need. Now, let me just give you three concepts, and that is the natural man, the spiritual man, and the carnal man. And I think these are important concepts that will help us visualize what we're talking about this morning. And you'll see on the PowerPoint that not only am I a poet, but I'm a great artist. And I've put on this PowerPoint a little picture that you'll see in just a second. You'll appreciate my multi-talented abilities. When we talk about the natural man, because the natural man is you and I before we knew Christ, before Christ came inside and regenerate us. And if you could put that up, Lorenzo, you'll see that the natural man is this here. The circle, first of all, is you, okay? And the chair, see how wonderful that chair is? That chair there is the throne, the seat of who you are, okay? And on the throne in the natural man is the self, and Christ is outside. Okay, so here's a picture of you and I before we know Christ, without Christ. The self is in the leadership position, sitting on the chair, the seat of who we are, directing us in the way we should go. And Ephesians 2 says this, as for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of the world. And so, according to Ephesians, we are actually dead in our sin before we know Christ. That is, all the things of the Spirit don't make sense to us. They're foolishness to us. We're not interested in the things of God. We're not attracted to that. We're not able to walk in the things of God. Why? Because we're dead in sin. Christ is outside of us, and the self is on the seat. Now, the spiritual man is that man that has now received Christ. And you see here that Christ actually comes inside the circle. That is, he comes inside of us. We put him at the on the throne of our self, directing ourself. And self is still there. You ever notice you still have, everywhere we go, you still, there you are. All right. You're still you. Right? Jesus is on the throne, but you're still you. So self is still in the picture, but you have decided to put Jesus on the throne of your life and direct your life. And that's 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Now, it says if anyone is in Christ. So not only is Christ in you, but you are also in Christ. Paul says that we are seated with Christ in the heavenly places. And so actually there's a positional change that not only do we accept Christ into our heart, but he actually put us inside of him at the same time. And so his power and resources are available to us. Why? Because he's inside of us and we are in him. Okay, so that's a spiritual man. Now the third concept is the carnal man. The carnal man. And in a second, I'll ask you if this is you sometimes. And if you don't raise your hand, I'm just going to tell you, if you don't raise your hand, then you're lying, okay? But I'm going to tell you now, and then we'll test you in a second and see if you're listening. Okay, so the carnal man is the same picture, except Christ is in the circle, but he's not on the throne. So you are in Christ, Christ is in you, but you've put self back on the throne. 1 Corinthians 3, and this is Paul, and he's writing to Christians in the Corinthian church, and he said, I could not address you as spiritual, but as worldly. For since there is jealousy and quarreling among you, are you not worldly? So, yes, you know Christ, but he ain't on the throne. You're not living like you know him. You're not living with him directing what you're doing and you're saying. Anybody know what I'm talking about? You ever been there? Remember I told you a second ago I was going to ask you to do. Carnal man. I mean, I raise my hand here, right? I know what that's like, right? That yes, I know Christ, but all the time I find that I've put myself back on the throne and my desires and that which I want to do. And I think that, you know, somehow I can figure stuff out and I'm going to be able to go through life and be victorious, but I'm trying to do it all in my own strength. In Romans, I love how Paul talks about it. It's in Romans chapter 7. I'm going to read it to you in the Message translation. And it's a translation that we don't normally hear this section of Scripture in. But I think it talks about exactly what we're discussing about the carnal man. And this is an experience that we all have if we know Christ and we've experienced him being on the throne, but we then put ourselves back on the throne. This is what happens. He says, what I don't understand about myself is that I decide one way, but then I act another, doing things I absolutely despise. You ever been there? But I need something more. For I know the law, but still can't keep it. And if the power of sin within me keeps sabotaging my best intentions, I obviously need help. I realize that I don't have what it takes. Have you ever felt like you don't have what it takes? You don't have what it takes to get through life. You don't have what it takes to answer the questions that your kids are asking. They're asking. You don't have what it takes to make that decision at the workplace that you know you should. But man, everything within me. You don't have what it takes to tell the truth because you know you're going to have to tell the truth. But every other time you've been asked that question, it's been too embarrassing, or you've been too afraid, or you've built yourself that web of lies, and you know you're not going to be able to get. So you just think, I don't have what it takes. I know it's wrong, but I'm going to do it anyway. I can will it, but I can't do it. I decide to do good, but I don't really do it. I decide not to do bad, but then I do it anyway. My decisions, such as they are, don't result in actions. Something has gone wrong deep within me and gets the better of me every time. It happens so regularly that it's predictable. The moment I decide to do good, sin is there to trip me up. I truly delight in God's commands, but it's pretty obvious that not all of me joins in that delight. I love coming to church. I love singing praise songs. I love being in God's house. I love God's word. But when it comes down to it, I keep doing the stuff I shouldn't be doing. Parts of me covertly rebel. And just when I least expect it, they take charge. I've tried everything and nothing helps. I'm at the end of my rope. Is there no one who can do anything for me? Isn't that the real question? Isn't that the real question? I mean, are we going to be able to live this life differently or aren't we? Is there someone that can help us? And the truth is yes, there is. In Romans chapter 7, someone went through and counted in one translation all the times that Paul says, I want to do one thing, but I do another. And it's something like 22 times that it's I. And the antidote to the I, to the self being on the throne, is putting the Spirit in its place. As Romans chapter 8, the very next chapter, Paul comes back and he says, but the Spirit of God is different. Verse 5, those who think they can do it on their own end up obsessed with measuring their own moral muscle, but never get around to exercising it in real life. Those who trust God's action in them find that God's Spirit is in them, living and breathing God. Obsession with self in these matters is a dead end. See, that's the problem, is that when we think that we can do it, oh, Lord, I believe your word, and I know that I shouldn't do it. Therefore, I'm going to grit my teeth and make up my will and decide that, no, I'm not going to go over there, that place I want to go. I'm not going to say that, those things I want to say. I'm not going to do that, the things I want to do. I'm not going to do it. I should be strong enough by now, God, to choose and make up my own mind and not do it. And Paul says, no, that's exactly wrong. What we need is God's Spirit inside of us. Attention to God leads us out into the open, into a spacious, free life. Focusing on the self is the opposite of focusing on God. Anyone completely absorbed in self ignores God, ends up thinking more about self than God. That person ignores who God is and what he is doing, and God isn't pleased at being ignored. See, the key is we have to learn how to yield to God's Spirit and act according to the way that he desires. We have to consider ourselves dead to sin. Lord, that stuff, yes, my flesh wants it, but according to your word, I don't have to do it. And as such, I submit to your will and I turn. So I'm dead. And now, Lord, I'm alive to you. I'm alive to what you want. I'm alive to your way. I'm going to walk in your steps. And see, and it's a little bit of both. You notice, it's not just I, and it's just not just the Spirit. See, some of us just want the Spirit to do it all. That would be nice, right? Lord, I see that thing, that sin, that thing that I want, the thing that, you know, I know I shouldn't do, but I'm relying on your Spirit to say no for me. Lord, that, you know, I'm trusting you. And yet we don't actually engage our will in the process. See, it's actually both. See, the Holy Spirit doesn't work instead or in spite of us. He works inside and through us, right? And so oftentimes we think, well, Lord, you instead of me. Well, it's not you instead of me. It's me saying I'm dead and I'm alive to you. See, and the problem is that some of us, number one, we haven't died yet, right? We're still alive to sin. We still haven't learned how to die to the self, die to our desires, die to those things. And then some of us have died, but we haven't yet really come alive to Him. And so it's both. You understand what I'm saying? It's saying, Lord, I agree with you that I'm dead to the sin. I don't have to buy into this lie. I agree, and now I'm turning. In Battle Zone, many of our men in the church have gone through Battle Zone, and they have the C3 technique. It's for overcoming temptation. It's exactly what we're talking about, how to yield to the Spirit of God, how to submit to Him. And what they say is, first of all, what you do is you call a timeout, right? So for guys, you know, typically the example is you're driving along and you see something swaying as it's walking along. And you go, oh, time out, Lord. Time out. And so that's the first C. And the second C is you confess that, you know, that your flesh wants that. Oh, God, I really would like to look right now. I know it's not appropriate, but everything within me wants to look. But you know what? I'm dead to sin. I don't have to look. And therefore, number three, I'm going to trust that your word is accurate. And what's the three? Who's here at Battle Zone, guys? Anybody? What's the third one? Conform to the character of Christ. The third one is yield to the Holy Spirit, right? So you confess, you call a timeout, you confess, Lord, I want it, but you know what? Your word says I'm dead to sin. And thirdly, I make the decision, I conform to your character, I make the decision, I'm not going to look. And so I'm going to do it in faith, trusting that you're going to back up what your word says. I'm dead to sin and I'm alive to you, but I'm also going to turn the car the other direction, right? Or I'm going to turn my head the other direction. Rather than just saying, oh, Lord, help me. Jesus, your Holy Spirit says, I don't have to look at every temptation. Right? It's a little bit of both, right? It's a little bit of both. I turn my head. I say, Lord, your word is right. Your word is true. By your power, I'm going to do it, but I'm going to do it at the same time. But I'm going to do it out of your strength, not just out of my strength. Because have you ever noticed your strength doesn't get you very far? My will just does not get me that far. It can work for a little while, but all the currents are against us, and it doesn't work for very long. All right, so we need the Holy Spirit to regenerate us. Number two, you need the Holy Spirit to fill you. You need the Holy Spirit to fill you. We see in the Gospels that Jesus came to John, and John baptized him in water, and that's when the Holy Spirit comes upon him. Remember how the Holy Spirit comes down in the form of a dove on Jesus? And we see that after the Holy Spirit comes on Jesus, that is when his ministry begins. That all the miracles, his earthly ministry, all the things that he did that we read about in the Gospels happened after he was empowered by the Holy Spirit. Jesus needed the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. He needed the filling of the Holy Spirit in order to do all that. Now here's Jesus, God in the flesh, and yet he's completely reliant on the Holy Spirit. Are we any different? How much more do we need the Holy Spirit if we're going to walk in the way He desires us to walk? We have got to learn how to be filled with Him. See, you can be baptized, but it doesn't necessarily mean you are filled. So you can receive the Holy Spirit, and He can be inside of you, and you can be covered in Him, but it doesn't mean you're full of Him. I know a lot of Christians. They've got the Holy Spirit inside of them, but they sure nasty people to be around. I wouldn't want to spend any time with them because they're full of bitterness, they're full of envy, they're full of strife, they're unhappy, they're like they're stuck on lemons all the time. You know, I wouldn't want to spend any time with, you know, anybody like that, right? But they can quote the word, right? They'll get in an argument with you any time about a theological point about who, you know, Jesus is or what the scripture says or where it says what. And they can quote chapter and verse, but they are filled with everything but the Holy Spirit of God. Because you can be covered, but you don't have to be filled. I just like to think of if I had a bowl of water here and I had a cup and I put the cup under the water, And I turn it upside down, and it would be completely baptized. It would be completely filled, but no water is inside of it until I turn the cup over, and it fills. Right? And so you and I, we don't only need to be baptized, we need to be filled. We need to be filled. And we leak all the time. We live in a world that we forget. We live in a world where we go on with life and we begin to put self on the throne and we forget that we need to be filled. And before you know it, we're dry. And we don't have any of the God's life inside of us. It's simply because we haven't taken time to be filled. And the fullness of the Spirit is where it's at. Because when you're full of the Spirit, then you begin to hear Him. Then as you walk, you understand that there's a life that flows outside of you. Then when you need guidance, His guidance is there. Then when you need power, His power is there. But see, it only happens if we are full of Him. We have to learn the fullness is so important. Ephesians 5 says, don't be drunk with wine, but be full of the Spirit. Paul says, don't be drunk with wine, full of the Spirit. So I'm going to tell you something about being drunk that you may not know. But in order to get drunk, you have to fill yourself with alcohol. Not sure if you're familiar with this concept, but in order to be drunk, you have to drink a lot of cups, right? All right, you have to take a lot of shots. Ooh, can I say the shots? You have to drink a lot of Everclear or whatever it is that you drink, right? And you have to drink it in order to get drunk. Very few people get drunk by accident. I'm not saying it hasn't happened. I know it probably happened with you, but I know, you know, for most people, it doesn't happen. In order to get drunk, you have to say, give me another glass. You have to fill it up, and then you actually have to take it, put it on your lips, and you have to drink it down. It doesn't get in through your skin, right? It just doesn't happen just when you're in the room with it, right? You've got to take it into your body. And then when you take it into your body, it fills you, and you enter into an altered state. Some people, you like their altered state, right? Because they're nicer when they get drunk, right? Other people, they get nasty. You don't want to be around them. But nonetheless, everybody changes. They talk different. They walk different, right? Their personality is modified because they're full of something. And Paul says, you need to be full of the Spirit. Don't be full of alcohol. Be full of the Spirit. Why? It'll change everything about you.
That's right.
And how do you do it? You got to drink. You have to intentionally be full. You have to decide, pour me another glass. Right? It doesn't happen by accident. I'm not saying it can't happen.
Yeah.
Right? But it doesn't happen just being in the room usually. You have to do certain things. You have to open up your will. You have to ask. You have to receive. You have to take steps of faith. You have to decide, I'm going to be full. We have to drink if we're going to be drunk. Okay, thirdly, you need the Holy Spirit to guide you. You need the Holy Spirit to guide. How many of us need the guidance of God to help us with our kids, to help us making decisions in life? Whoa, man, the finances, you name it, relationships, what are we going to do? I need your guidance, God. And in 1 Corinthians, it says that you and I, if we know Christ, we have the mind of Christ. That the mind of Christ is actually inside us. It's available to us, but it's only in operation if He's sitting on the throne of our heart. And when He is, then His guidance is clear to us. I have had so many experiences with His guidance that I just like, Lord, are you really talking to me? I can't hear you. I don't understand. Let me just give you very quickly, if you're taking notes, how you receive guidance from God. Number one, you have to be filled with the Spirit. Okay, what we're talking about. You have to get Him on the throne. Secondly, you have to ask. In James chapter 1, it says, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God who gives to all men freely and without reproach. So we just have to ask. And then thirdly, you have to believe and trust that He's going to respond. The next verse after that one that I just quoted in James says, but let him ask in faith without any doubting. For someone who doubts, one who doubts is like the surf of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. And so many times we'll get as far as asking, but as soon as we ask, we immediately start to doubt. We immediately start, oh God, if you don't answer. And we start to think of all, we start to worry and be fearful, and we start to make plans because we're not sure if God's going to come through. And as soon as we ask, but we don't really believe, we don't really trust that He's actually going to answer us, right? And so you have to be full of the Spirit, you have to ask Him, you have to believe, and then you have to trust and listen. Believe and listen. Listen to Him. Sometimes we have to take time. Sometimes we need to get in the Word. Sometimes we need to get around people that are also godly people pursuing godly things. We have to look for confirmation. You know, God doesn't always answer you the way that you want Him to. Many, many times, In our marriage, my wife and I have waited on God for a decision, and it just so many times it has come in different ways, and you know, never as quick as we'd like, never through the channels that we would always anticipate, you know. But it's wonderful when you hear the voice of God. I am so happy that my wife heard God's voice telling her to marry me. I mean, it was very key for her, and I knew that if she didn't hear God's voice, I was waiting for God to speak to her. Right? He did. Right? I'm so glad. All right, number four. You need the Holy Spirit to empower you. You need the Holy Spirit to empower you. The Holy Spirit is life and His power. And you and I, when we walk in the supernatural power of the Holy Spirit, there is something different about us. See, we need God's power. We need God's power so that when we speak into situations, with our friends and relatives, with our coworkers, and they come to us and they need a word of life comes only if you've got power inside of you. You need power so that when you lay hands on your kids or on your friends, your family, that something actually happens. Right? That's the power that's available through the Spirit of God. Acts 10:38 says, "You know of Jesus of Nazareth, how God anointed him with the Holy Spirit and with power." 1 Corinthians 5:4, "When you are assembled in the name of our Lord Jesus, and I am with you in spirit, and the power of the Lord Jesus is present." See, here in this room this morning, we talked a little while ago about how Jesus is here. His Spirit is here this morning. And He is here, why? Because we are together exalting the name of Jesus. And when that happens, His power is here. His power is here. Let me tell you this morning, His power is here. Some of you today are going to receive an impartation of His power, and you're going to walk out of here differently today than the way that you walked in. You're going to be able to come, be free today from things that you have been struggling with over and over and over again. Why? Because His power is here. His power to break chains. His power to break addiction. His power to break the power of the past. See, today is different. Why? Because His power is here. But the question is, are we living in His power? Do we know how to walk in His power? Oh, so much we forget. Paul says to Timothy, stir up the gift. Why? Because you forget. But we need His power. Let me read you a quick story. I'll just end with this, and then we're going to spend a few moments waiting on Him. As a new missionary, Herbert Jackson was assigned a car that would not start without a push. After pondering his problem, he devised a plan. It's always the way it is, right? You're a new missionary, so they give you the car that doesn't work. It's like a test, right? He went to a school near his home, got permission to take some kids out of class, and had them push his car. As he made his rounds, he would either park on a hill or leave the engine running. He used his ingenious procedure for 2 years. Ill health forced Jackson and his family to leave, and a new missionary came to the station. When Jackson proudly began to explain his arrangement for getting the car started, the new man began to look under the hood. Before the explanation was complete, the new missionary interrupted, "Why, Dr. Jackson, I believe the only trouble is this loose cable." He gave the cable a twist, stepped into the car, pushed the switch, and to Jackson's astonishment, the engine roared to life. For 2 years, needless trouble had become routine. The power was there all the time. Only a loose connection kept Jackson from putting that power to work. How much stuff have you put up with in your life for a long time because you are not plugged in to the power source in a way that makes a difference? Ephesians 1, verse 19, this is in the Phillips translation, says, "How tremendous is the power available to us who believe in God." How tremendous is the power available to us who believe in God. You and I have a resource. We have a power source that is the same power that raised Jesus from the dead, same power that healed the sick, the same power that set the captives free, the same power that opened blind eyes, the same power is available to us today. The question is, will we receive? Will we yield? Will we cooperate with His Spirit? See, He's willing. It's not that He's not available, present, or willing. It's simply that we oftentimes simply do not take the time. Either because we don't know how or we don't take the time, but He is here. He is here. What are you missing today because you're not adequately connected to the power source? You need power to overcome sin. You need power to get through the circumstances that you're dealing with. Power in your physical body to deal with the breakdowns that are happening there. Power to get through emotionally. Power to speak to others, words of life. Power to lay hands on the sick. So much power that we need, but His power is available. I'm going to ask Sandy to come up and prayer teams begin to come up forward up front. And we've got a few minutes left. Don't worry, we're not out of time. I'm not running over time. And I just want us to take a few moments and position ourselves, and we're going to wait on God. We're going to make the decision to put Him on the seat. Some of us need to become alive once again to His Spirit inside of us. God wants to give us a fresh filling of His Spirit today. So if I have you just stand up to your feet. All this morning, all through the service, God has been here, and He's knocking on the door of our hearts, and He's calling on us, and He's saying, will you be a people that will walk differently? Will you be a people that engage with Me? Because I am here for you. I'm available to you. I am ready to give you what you need. Will you cooperate with Me? And if your response to that is, yes, Lord, just go ahead and raise your hands. Maybe just in a posture of receptivity. And Lord, as we lift hands to You this morning, what we're saying to You, God, is that we need You. Oh, we need You, Lord. I need You, God. I hunger for more of You. I don't want my life to be the same as it was yesterday. I don't want to be stuck in the same patterns that are repeated over and over again. I need more of You. Lord, I want others to know who You are. And the only way that I know that I can live that out is if I know who You are. So, Lord, as we receive You from You today, as we put our hands in a posture of asking and receptivity, God, I just ask that You would begin to pour out Your Spirit upon Koinonia today, upon every individual that's here this morning that is waiting on You. There are some here that are hungry and thirsty, some, Lord, that are very dry, some that they feel that they're broken, some that are in chains and are waiting to be set free. God, I ask that for everyone that hungers and thirsts, that You would come and that You would fill them fresh and new this morning. Now just continue to wait on Him. I'm going to call a couple of groups down front. I've asked the prayer teams to come up. And if you're in the part of the leadership community, I'd also like you to come up. I need some more prayer people up here. But we're just going to lay hands on you and to anoint you that there would be a fresh filling. So if you're here this morning and you just are dry, 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 you just know that you have been walking in a place that has drained you, and you're emotionally dry, and you have not sensed His Spirit, and you need a fresh filling, I just want you to come down right now very quickly, and these people will lay hands on you, and we're just going to ask God to fill you fresh and anew. The Holy Spirit is here this morning. God is here this morning. It's simply whether or not we will receive today. So, Lord, for everyone that desires Your fullness, I pray that You would give Your fullness. Your word says, if you ask for bread, You won't give a stone. So, Lord, we ask for bread this morning. I need some more prayer people up here. I need some more prayer people. Jim, would you come down? Anyone else, please come down from the leadership community to pray, please. You need a fresh filling this morning. Holy Spirit, we wait on You. Let me read to you something I felt like God gave me for Koinonia. It says, those who seek for Me will find Me when they search for Me with all of their heart. It's Jeremiah 29:13. Those who seek for Me will find Me if they will search for Me with all of their heart. All we must do is turn our entire heart towards Him, and He's going to respond. Koinonia, I am willing. My spirit is available to you. My empowerment is enough for you to face every challenge. My guidance is ready to lead your steps. My regeneration will strengthen you every day. Will you ask? Will you seek? Will you wait? Will you receive? Those who hunger and thirst will be filled if they will only come to the source and drink. Will you receive this morning? Will you receive this morning? This morning, if you are in a group, and when I began to talk about the carnal man, and you knew that you have been walking as a carnal man, you know Christ, you've been regenerated in Him, but you recognize that you actually have put yourself back on that seat, back on the throne of yourself, and you've allowed yourself to direct rather than Him to direct, I just want you to come forward and we want to pray for you. And if you just desire that extra filling, that replacement of yourself, you're making that decision today to replace self with Christ once again, to put the Holy Spirit back in His rightful place, just begin to come forward and receive a touch. Now continue to wait, Quinity. We just got a few more minutes. I won't keep you long. But this posture of receptivity is important for us. Let me talk to you. This posture of receptivity is important for us. I don't know where you're at, but I know that as a church, Koinonia has a calling. That God has called this church to be full of the Holy Spirit. God has called this church to be a church full of signs and wonders. And we can only be full of signs and wonders. We can only transform this community if we are full of His Spirit. And the way that we have to do that is we have to be receptive to Him. We have to get on board. We have to say, Lord, I want to be a part of that. Sometimes it means we have to get in our houses and we just have to put on a worship song. We got to open up the Word and we just got to begin to wait and say, Lord, I need more of You. I desire more of You. Holy Spirit, would You come and would You fill me once again? And when we do that, we become a people that will transform this community. A people who will be different. People will look at you and say, I want what you have. Why? Because we have seen the life, we know the life, and we have the life inside of us. Lord Jesus, we ask You once again for a fresh filling. For a fresh filling. Lord, we don't want yesterday's stuff. We want that empowerment for today. We need Your wisdom. We need Your guidance. We need Your power. We need a fresh touch of Your Spirit. So, Lord, as we continue to wait on You as a people, not just in this moment, but this week, Lord, I pray that You would fill and that You would change, You would transform, that we would be different in the name of Jesus. I'm going to dismiss you now. We're going to continue to pray here up front. If you haven't been prayed for and you want to come up front, please do. If you've never made that decision to put Christ on the seat of your life, you've never actually been regenerated, please come down and we'll pray for you. God bless you guys. Continue to wait on His Holy Spirit.